I'm looking forward to hearing Ben come and bring the message that the Lord's laid on his heart. I enjoy Ben's desire to serve God. In college, he would text his dad and share dreams about his bus route with his dad, and his dad would share them with me. And always had a big dream for his route and for reaching many people for Christ. And so Ben's desire to serve God has always been a blessing to me. And so I'm excited to hear what God has laid on his heart. So be ready and come give it to us, brother.
All right. First of all, I want to start out by saying thank you to preacher number one for allowing us, like Luke said, for us to preach. It's a great opportunity to preach in your home church. Secondly, I want to thank everyone here, the church members that took the time out of their day to pray for me as I was going through college. So it's been a great blessing. You go into college thinking you know everything, and you leave wondering how much you still need to learn. So it was a great blessing going through college. It's great to be done with it and to move on with life. We're getting married in a couple weeks, so looking forward to that. And we'll jump right into the message here. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14. When you find your place there, the Bible says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." I want you to take a look at that verse, and I want you to look at the very first word. The very first word, if. If my people. If my people. The word if, in case, granting or supposing that on condition that. As if you were to do something, you were going to do it, but you changed it, so on and so forth. If is such a little word, but it can make all the difference in the world. You can be on your way going one direction, and then the if comes into play. One word that can pack such a punch. The times that you always remember, and things that stick in your mind and seem to just stay on your mind for the rest of your life, are the things that would have changed. Things that would have been different if. Things that would have been different if. If I only would have done this. If I only would have followed God. If I only would have done what God told me to do. If I would have done this, maybe my children would have went a different direction. If I would have done this, maybe I'd be blessed by God. If I would have done this, how many times can we look back in our life and say, if I only would have did this, things could have been different. Another verse to look at is Deuteronomy 4:29. "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." I pretty much just have one main thought tonight. This is what God laid on my heart. What are the ifs in your life? What are the ifs in your life? The first thing I want to start out, as the verse says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray." Humble themselves and pray. So many times we hear preaching about revival. We want to see something happen in our country. We want to see something happen in our homes. We want to see something happen in our churches. But what are you willing to do for it? If everybody here got on the same page, if everybody in the church, if everybody in the churches across America got on the same page, got on their knees and prayed, got on their knees and humbled themselves before God and sought the face of God, what could happen in our country? We want things to change. Everyone's willing to complain about it, but who's willing to do something about it? If only we'd get on our knees and pray. If. The Bible says, "If my people, which are called by my name, and humble themselves." Humbling. It's something that America has seemed to have forgotten. Something that Christians have seemed to have forgotten. Humbling themselves. Getting on your knees and praying. It's something that a lot of church people don't do anymore. A lot of Christians don't do anymore. I got saved. I'm good. I'm on my way to heaven. You see things going on in the church, I'll pray for them. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. How many things could have changed if you would have prayed for someone? How many times could the outcome could have been different if we would have just got on our knees and humbled ourselves before God and prayed? It makes me think a little bit of my mom. Your life can change so drastically in a moment. Sitting there, next thing you know, you have a phone call. Said your mom's going to the hospital. She had a stroke. Things run through your mind. If. whatever you get to that point. You never know when it's coming. If you get to that point, say, if I only would have had a relationship with God, if I only would have prayed, what could the outcome have been? Is that going to be you? How many times, if, what are the ifs in your life? It brings you back. And you think about those times. When you first get that phone call, you immediately just break down. You don't know what to happen. Who's the first person you go to? Who's the first person you go to? The person you're closest to. Is that God? Who is that? If, what are the ifs in your life? Praise the Lord, God performed a miracle on my mom. It's amazing how the doctors were baffled. They're go doing the check again. Your mom has a hole in her heart. The next time she goes back, they're looking. They can't find a hole. The doctor says, these tests are never wrong. These tests are never wrong. If, could the outcome would have been different if our relationships weren't right with God? What could the outcome have been if people here had not prayed? If the family had not prayed? If people had not prayed? I thank you guys so much. I know a lot of you were praying for my mom, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. But what if some of you wouldn't have prayed? Could the outcome have been different? What would have happened if? What are the ifs in your life? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Turn from their wicked ways. It's something we don't like to do anymore. We like our little pet sins. We like the things we're doing. We don't want to change. But we're willing to complain. Oh, our country's going down the tubes. But I'm not going to turn from my sin. I like it. I enjoy it. I can do it. It's not bothering anyone. It's not hurting anyone. Your kids go astray. Oh, it wasn't my fault. It's okay if I do this. I'm sure they didn't notice if I was doing that. You'd be amazed at what your kids see. I'm so thankful for the mom and the dad I had. They have such a great testimony. I got to grow up in a Christian home where my dad drives a bus, where he teaches Sunday school, where he goes sewing, where he works on buses, and where he puts his heart and soul into the ministry. I had a wonderful mom who I got to see every morning, reading her Bible, praying to God, praying for me, praying for my brothers and sisters. Mom and Dad, how about you? What are your regrets going to be? Some of you have small kids. Some of you have kids that are already grown. If. What are the ifs in your life? What are they going to be 20 years from now? What are the ifs going to be in your life? Are you going to look back and say, if I only would have prayed, if I only would have listened to the preaching, could the outcome would have been different? What are the ifs in your life? Seeking God's face. Humble ourselves and seek God's face. How many times have we fasted and prayed? I know when you look at me, it doesn't look like I fast too much. I enjoy food, as you can tell. But sometimes God wants to see if you're serious. Are you willing to fast and pray? Are you willing to give something up? Sometimes God wants to see how serious you are and seek His face. Will you get down on your knees? Will you pray? Will you beg God for something? Or is it just, okay, God, give me this. You mention it once, twice. And then you get mad at God when He doesn't answer it. But you're not willing to get down on your knees. You're not willing to seek God's face. You're not willing to do anything. But you want the outcome to be different. If. What are the ifs going to be in your life? If we pray, if we humble ourselves, if we seek God's face, if we turn from our wicked ways. If we turn from our wicked ways. The Bible tells us, then will I, if my people, if they humble themselves, if they pray, if they seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. And what does it say? And will heal their land. We want to see something happen. You want to know where the problem is? It's not out in the world. It's not the people doing the drugs. It's not the people drinking alcohol. It's in the church. If we want to see souls saved, but we're not willing to go soul winning. Oh, someone else will do it. I'm so glad that some soul winners knocked on my dad's door. My dad was not a good man before he got saved. You wouldn't have wanted to meet him. Some of you don't want to meet him now, but that's okay. But before he was saved, my dad was not a very nice man. He was drunk. He was a drunken hellion. He was not what you wanted to meet at night in the street. It's not someone you want to meet in the day. But praise Jesus. praise Jesus that there were some soldiers who cared enough to go out, to give up some time out of their day, to knock on his door and invite him to come to church. How could things be different if you went soul winning? And I know a lot of you go soul winning. Praise Jesus for that. Praise the Lord for that. But how many here do not? How many here do not? I know a lot of people say, I can't do that. You know, talk to people, it's not my thing. Okay, but you can pass out a tract. Even little kids can pass out a tract. If everyone here passed out 10 tracts a day, how many people would get the gospel? But no, we go through life, I have my own problems, I have my own issues, I have this to worry about. We think nothing of the lost souls that are dying to go to hell every single day of the week. If, what could change? If we were to go soul winning, if we were to get a burden for souls. I know a lot of people seem to think that passing out tracts doesn't seem to do any good. I just want to read you a story. It's a little bit of a long story, so I want you to bear with me. This all started a number of years ago in a Baptist church in Crystal Palace in South London. The Sunday morning service was closing. A man stood up at the back and raised his hand and said, "Excuse me, Pastor, can I share a short testimony?" The pastor looked at his watch and said, "You have 3 minutes, and that's lunchtime." The man proceeded with the story. "I've just moved into this area. I used to live in Sydney, Australia, just a few months back. I was visiting some relatives, and as I walked down George Street," you know where George Street is, in Sydney, going from the business area out to the Rock, the colonial area, "a strange little white-haired man stepped out from a shop doorway, put a pamphlet in my hand and said, 'Excuse me, sir, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven?' I was astounded by these words. No one had ever asked me that. I thanked him courteously, and all the way home to London, this puzzled me. I called a friend. Thank God he was a Christian, and he led me to Christ." The Baptists loved testimonies like that. Everyone applauded and welcomed him into their fellowship. The Baptist pastor flew to Adelaide, Australia the next week, and 10 days later, in the middle of a 3-day series in a Baptist church in Adelaide, a woman came up to him for some counseling. He wanted to establish where she stood with Christ. She said, "I used to live in Sydney, and just a couple of months back I was visiting some friends in Sydney, doing some last-minute shopping down George Street. A strange little white-haired man stepped out of a shop doorway and offered me a pamphlet and said, 'Excuse me, madam, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven?' I was disturbed by these words. When I got home to Adelaide, I knew this Baptist church was on the next block from me. I sought the pastor, and he led me to Christ, so I am telling you that I am a Christian." The London pastor was now very puzzled. Twice in 2 weeks, he had heard the same testimony. He then flew to preach in Mount Pleasant Church in Perth. With his teaching series was over, the senior elder of the church took him out for a meal, and he asked the elder how he got saved. "I grew up in this church from the age of 15. I never made a commitment to Jesus, just hopped in the bandwagon like everyone else because of my business ability. I grew up to a place of influence. I was on a business trip to Sydney just 3 years ago. An obnoxious, spiteful little man stepped out in the shop doorway, offered me a religious pamphlet, cheap junk, and accosted me with a question. 'Excuse me, sir, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven?' I tried to tell him I was a Baptist elder. He wouldn't listen to me. I was seething with anger all the way home from Sydney to Perth. I told my pastor, thinking he would sympathize, but he agreed. He had been disturbed for years, knowing that I didn't have a relationship with Jesus, and he was right. My pastor led me to Jesus just 3 years ago." The London preacher flew home and was soon speaking at Keswick conventions in the Lake District, and he threw in these three testimonies. At the close of the teaching series, 4 elderly pastors came up and explained that they had been saved between 25 and 30 years earlier through the same little man on George Street offering them a pamphlet and asking the same question. The following week, he flew to a similar Keswick convention in the Caribbean for missionaries. He shared the same testimony. At the close of his teaching, 3 missionaries came forward and said they had also been saved between 15 and 25 years earlier by the same little man's testimony. They were asked the same question on George Street in Sydney. Next, he stopped in Atlanta, Georgia, to speak at a naval chaplain convention. Here, for 3 days, he spoke to over 1,000 naval chaplains. Afterwards, the chaplain general took him out for a meal, and he asked the chaplain how he became a Christian. "It was miraculous. I was a raiding on a naval ship, and I lived at a repo light. We were there doing exercise in the South Pacific, and we docked at Sydney Harbor for replenishment. We hit King's Cross with a vengeance, and I was blind drunk. I got on the wrong bus and got off in George Street. as I got off the bus, I thought I saw a ghost as this man jumped out in front of me, pushed a pamphlet in my hand and said, "Sailor, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven?" The fear of God hit me immediately. I was shocked sober, ran back to the ship and sought out the chaplain. He led me to Christ. I soon began to prepare for the ministry under his guidance. I now am in charge of 1,000 chaplains who are bent on soul winning today. 6 months later, that London pastor flew to a conference for 5,000 Indian missionaries in a remote part of northeast India. At the end, the head missionary took him to his humble little home for a simple meal. He asked how he, as a Hindu, came to Christ. I grew up in a very privileged position. I worked for Indian diplomatic missions, and I traveled the world. I am so glad for the forgiveness of Christ and his blood covering my sin, because I would be very embarrassed if people found out what I got into. One period of diplomatic service took me to Sydney. I was doing some last-minute shopping, laden with toys and clothes for my children. I was walking down George Street when a courteous, white-haired little man stepped out in front of me and offered me a pamphlet and said, "Excuse me, sir, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven?" I thanked him very much, but this disturbed me. I got back to my town, sought out our Hindu priest. He couldn't help me. But he advised me that to satisfy my curious mind, I should go talk to the missionary in the mission home at the end of the road. That was good advice, because that day the missionary led me to Christ. I quit Hinduism immediately and began to prepare for the ministry. I left the diplomatic service, and here I am today, by God's grace, in charge of all these missionaries who have together led 100,000 people to Christ. 8 months later, that London pastor was preaching in Sydney. He asked the local Baptist minister if he knew of a little elderly white-haired man who handed out tracts on George Street. He replied, "Yes, I do. His name is Mr. Ganor." Although I don't think he does it anymore because he is so frail and elderly. 2 nights later, they went to meet him in his little apartment. They knocked on the door, and this tiny, frail old man greeted them. He sat them down and made them tea. He was so frail that he was slopping the tea into the saucer as his hand shook. The London preacher sat there and told him of all these accounts from the previous 3 years. This little man sat with tears running down his cheeks. He told them his story. "I was raiding an Australian warship. I was living a repo life. In a crisis, I really hit the wall. One of my colleagues, to whom I gave literal hell, was there to help me. He led me to Jesus, and the change in my life was night and day in 24 hours. I was so grateful to God. I promised God that I would share Jesus and a simple witness with at least 10 people a day. As God gave me strength, I did that. Sometime I was ill and couldn't do it, but I made up for the days I missed it at other times. I wasn't paranoid about it. I have done it for over 40 years. In my retirement, the best place was on St. George Street, where I saw hundreds of people a day. I got lots of rejections, but a lot of people courteously took the track. In 40 years of doing this, I have never heard of one single person coming to Jesus until today. You know, I would say that he has to have commitment to show gratitude and love for Jesus, to do that for 40 years and now hear, and not hear of any results. That simple little non-charismatic Baptist man witnessed to perhaps 147,000 people. I think that what God was showing that Baptist pastor from London was the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg. Goodness knows how many people more would have been arrested for Christ and were doing huge jobs out in the mission field. Mr. Ganor died 2 weeks later. Can you imagine the reward he went home to in heaven? I doubt his face would ever have appeared on a Charisma magazine. I doubt there never would have been a photograph and a write-up in Billy Graham's Decision magazine. No one except a little group of Baptists in Sydney knew about Mr. Ganor. But I tell you, his name was famous in heaven. Heaven knew Mr. Ganor. And can you imagine the welcome and red carpet and the fanfare that he received when he went home to glory? Passing out tracts doesn't make a difference. It seemed to make a lot of difference in the lives of many people. The reward that Mr. Ganor got in heaven because he passed out tracts. He was afraid to talk to people, but he passed out tracts. He did what he could do. What are you doing? God can take a track and lead someone to Christ. But who is going to give him that? If no one hands out the track, what can God cannot take a track that's sitting there and jump it across. Well, he probably could jump it across the room and give it to somebody, but it probably would scare the people half to death. God needs a willing vessel, a willing person, someone who's willing to just do a simple command in the Bible, like the Bible tells us, the Great Commission, to go. He doesn't ask you. He says, go. But a lot of people say, I'm all right. I'm all right. If. We complain how the economy's doing. We complain about the drug addicts. We complain about the welfare people. We complain about all the bad things. If. If. What are the ifs in your life? If we were to go soul winning. If we were to get on our knees and pray. If we were to humble ourselves. If we were to seek God's face. Let's talk a little bit about the bus routes. A lot of the bus drivers in here, Brother Caleb, what would you say would be the average age of the bus drivers? 40s. They're not going to be around forever. The younger generation, it's time. It's our time. What are you going to do? Average bus captain, probably about the same. Where's the next generation? If the next generation does not step up, what is going to happen? If 40 years from now, are you going to look back in your life? If only I would have followed God. If only I would have answered the call to preach. If only I would have surrendered my life to God. If. I'm so glad my dad took us on the bus when we were younger. We didn't really have a choice. Dad said, come on, we're going on the bus. And that's where God started just a little fire in the heart of a couple people. And I was able to go to college. We were able to see many things happen on the bus route. We were able to see many people saved. But would that have happened if Dad wouldn't have brought us on the bus? Probably not. Would I have had such a burden for the bus ministry if Dad wouldn't have just put his hand and said, come on, let's go. If. Parents, if. How's family devotions at home? You hear a preacher tell you you need to have family devotions at home. He shows you scriptures from the Bible, how you need to meet together as a family, have some family devotions. How's it going, Mom and Dad? How's it going? Teenagers, how's it going out soul winning? I know a lot of times we get caught up like, what's the point? We never seem to see anything. But how's your walk with God? If. If. What are the ifs in your life? What are the ifs in your life? I remember back when Brother Horman, back in the old building, for some reason this sticks out in my mind. I remember Brother Horman coming down to the altar and raising his hands and surrendering to do what God wanted him to do. He was a bus captain. Brother Horman, did you ever think you'd be a bus captain of a bus? I went visiting with Brother Horman many times. I got to see how kids looked up to him and respected him. God can use anybody if you're willing. If you're willing. Way too many people are not willing to be used of God. They have their own agendas. They have their own ideas. But they're just not willing to do what God wants them to do. If. What are the ifs in your life? Think about it. If can make all the difference. What are the ifs in your life? If people surrendered their lives to God. If they gave Jesus everything that they had. If they were willing to put everything on the line for Jesus. If. How could this country be different? How could your family life be different? How could your walk with God be different? If you had a walk with God, if you had a prayer life, if you were committed, if you fully surrendered. I know too many people, they started college. Yeah, I'm called to preach. Make it halfway through. Quit. Give up. It's too hard. God's not going to give you something that you can't handle. But if you're not walking with Him, if you don't have a relationship with Him, it's going to be awfully hard for you to bear anything. You wonder why the world struggles so much. You just want them to change. Why don't you? What are the ifs in your life? What are the ifs in your life? In some situation, if only you were saved. Mama said I was going to heaven. But do you know? But do you know? Deep down inside your heart, you know if you're saved or not. You know if you're just living a life to live it. Anybody can put on a show. Anybody can put on an act. If you're not saved, there's only one other place you can go. If. A lot of people are going to miss heaven by 6 inches. The place from their head to their heart. From their head to their heart. They know what they need to do. But are they willing to do it? I read a story. It's testimonies of the saved and the unsaved that have died. A preacher went. This girl left the revival. She knew she needed to be saved, but she rejected Jesus. She got in a car accident on the way home. The preacher went to the hospital. The doctor said she probably wasn't going to make it through the night. He said, "You need to accept Christ." She said, "I can't. God said that was my last chance." When's yours? Your life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. We've been to the funerals of the young kids. We've been to the funerals of the teenagers. We've been to the funerals of the young adults. We've been to the funerals of the elderly. We never know when our life's going to expire. You never know when the clock's running out. If you're not saved, do not leave this building tonight. This could be your last chance. If the two-letter word that makes all the difference in the world, what are the ifs in your life? What could God do with this country if? What could God do with your life if? If no one would have reached my parents. If no one would have went and knocked on my mom's door and got her to come on the bus. If no one had went and knocked on my father's door and got him to come to church. If they wouldn't have been persistent, I would not be here today. How many people are not going to be here because you refused to go out? Because you refused to do what God commanded you to do? Am I saying don't ever take vacations? Am I saying that all you do is go out, pass out tracts, and witness to many people as you can? No. But how many times do you neglect it? You have the time. You normally go, but you just decide, oh, I'm going to skip it today. Nothing happens anyway. Well, there goes the next Jack Hiles. There goes the next Billy Sunday. There goes the next Greg Payne. There goes the next Pastor Angel. How many of you were saved because of the bus ministry? Raise your hand. Look around the room. You say the bus ministry is no effect. You're too proud to serve in the bus ministry. They're a bunch of snotty-nosed kids. Look around you. How many of you were saved by door-to-door soul winning? Raise your hand. Look around you. Someone had to go. Someone had to do what God commanded to do. What are you doing today? What are you doing today? Church, what are the ifs in your life? This message to me is as much as it is to you. What are the ifs in your life? What are the ifs in your life? The Bible talks to us about Satan, how he's a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to trip you up. He wants you to do wrong. He wants to throw you out of the race. He wants to get you out of your walk with God. He wants to get you away from everything. Why? Because you could impact someone's life. 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 And turn their life upside down and get them to church and get them serving Christ. And you never know what that person's going to do. You don't. What are the ifs in your life? What are the ifs in your life? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I. Church, what are the ifs in your life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the many things that you've done for us. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for Pastor Angel and the pastor and the testimony that he is. Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to come here tonight. If there's any of you here that are not saved, I beg you, don't leave tonight without getting that settled. If you're not saved today, if you just lift up your hand, if you're not saved and you'd like to be saved, say, "Brother Ben, I'd like to be saved." You could raise your hand. You. Don't leave tonight without getting that settled. Some of you here, you've been saved and never been baptized. Brother Jason's down here at the front. Come down, talk with him. He'll let you know what to do. Some of you, what are the ifs in your life? What are the ifs in your life? It's about time to come down to an old-fashioned altar. What are the ifs in your life?